This is an MUT Radio podcast.
On the call right now is someone who is a music producer, someone who participated in the Stimoro Flow Lab sort of incubator competition, and he came out topping everyone who was there, actually. And his name is Jermaine George. A stage name of Major C is something our generation hardly comes across. With an ear for music and an acute in-depth knowledge of his craft, he is highly skilled in various aspects of writing, producing, and providing insight into both film and music realms. His ability to also play the piano comes handy for both vocal consultations and productions he's involved in. Not only is he skilled in the music making, but in various aspects of the pre and post production process, as well as an acute ear for mastering and shaping any kind of audio. Now, growing up as a visually impaired child, Jermaine had to shape the world around him as he grew in order to make sense of what he could not see. It is this very circumstance that led him towards his calling, music. He used technology to innovate and create inventive ways of breaking boundaries between the visually impaired and sighted world. His goal is to have blind or partially sighted individuals have equal opportunities on a level playing field with the rest of the world through the use of both physical and technological advancement in the music industry. And some of the works that he has been involved in include the productions of Coming From the 90s, Shaiway with Kid Ntini, Inferno with Jay Smalls, Once in a Million with Kid Ntini again, and his very own featuring Kid Ntini, Lost in Her Music, as well as many others. We do have Major C right here on the line with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, man. Good to have. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys. And that's a lengthy introduction, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man. I think you have your PR to thank for that introduction. So if you could tell us more, first of all, I'd like to know, am I pronouncing the name right? It's Major C.
It's Mage C.
Mage C.
But you're on the right track, because the whole point of calling myself Mage C was, you know, when I'm gone, I want people to look back and think about all the records I did and go, well, those are all major classics.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Love that.
Okay, I was definitely on the right track, actually. Wow, that is beautiful, man. So could you tell us a bit more about Mage C? Where does he come from? How did he get into music?
Twofold question. So for me, you know, I think the bio pretty much summed it up. As a kid, I always loved music. Mm. And I had to figure out how I'm going to navigate this world that I'm in. And, you know, I saw all my friends playing in the street. They were playing football. They were playing, you know, everybody had their thing except the little blind guy who was growing up in the hood. And, you know, nobody really knew what to do with it. And music sort of became my superpower, because my dad had a whole vinyl and CD collection in the house. And he'd spend days just listening to records, like, every single day.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the foundation of how I got into it. I think the record that got me started was Timbaland, with Aaliyah, Are You That Somebody?
Mm, yeah.
I think the day I heard that baby on the sample in the hook, I was like, okay, this is what we're doing. We just need to figure out how we're going to do it.
How we're going to do it.
This is what we do.
Yeah. Wow, man, that sounds inspiring. Actually, I think I'd like to know, as, you know, someone who has this visually impairment, where do you start learning music or learning how to actually do all of these things?
You know, it's a wild, crazy journey.
Mm.
I went to a school for the visually impaired when I was younger. It's located in Pretoria Central. It's called Prince of School for the Visually Impaired.
Sure.
I rap Cap City all day. Cap City, Rap City.
And
it's pretty much there where my musical journey started, because I showed up to school and I was the new kid. I was very awkward and quiet. And someone heard me. One of the teachers heard me singing. I don't know why she was listening to me. And she just said, hey, there's a singing group of kids that kind of do the same thing that you do. Do you want to join? I was like, oh, cool, okay. And I showed up to class one day, and the group was there. And, you know, that's how the music in me got out. But then as I got older, you know, I faced another challenge, because singing is one thing, but turning the thing into a craft, learning how to produce, learning how to make those sounds, those things were mostly very much inaccessible to me. Because as you imagine, you know, you walk into a recording studio and there's all these computers and buttons and stuff, but none of it is labeled for you. Like I came up using Braille as a learning system to read and write whatever I needed for school.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's one small, like when you're at school, that's a small little fish pond. And then you go out into the real world and, well, nobody really understands what Braille is for. And you have you realize very quickly that you need to make sense of this world. So,
yeah.
It started from, I'd say, just curiosity, man. I had to be curious about how to make the music work, even if I couldn't understand what the buttons were labeled or. You know, their functions. And sometimes I was even more isolated because the people that were with me weren't musically inclined. So it I'd say it was sheer will and passion and probably a whole lot of Jesus, but yeah.
Wow, man, we love to hear that. Actually, we love to hear that. Now, they said here you're also a songwriter and you're a producer. It seems like you are you're really someone who is in the behind the scenes to make sure that what the audience receives really enjoys it. Could you just tell us more about what inspires you to make a song? What is the message behind you making a song, maybe writing a song and making like the whole production of a song? What impact do you really want to make to the listener's ear?
I feel like the most important thing that music doesn't do a lot of these days is give something, give people something they can relate to. You know, so my goal from the time, it doesn't matter whether it's a turn up song, whether it's an R&B joint or whether it's a rap joint. I just want the listener at the end of the day to feel what the artist has been trying to get across. And sometimes that means, you know, sometimes artists get mad at you because you want them to re-record a line like 50 million times and you want them to get the intonation right and the inflections and everything.
Yeah.
So it's really about making sure that I am able to get whoever is with me to get their message across to everybody in the simplest way possible.
Yeah, yeah.
While still, you know, having their attention, obviously, because once you know, like attention, especially in the day and age we live in, like, you know, attention, you either have someone's attention or you don't. You need to find a way to hold on to it. But you need to find a way to grab it first, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of things that are looking for attention, Gutina as a band. Now, I can definitely see why you won the Stimero Flow Lab competition. Could you just tell us a bit more about that experience?
Yeah, it was overwhelming, but it was awesome. You know, it's always interesting. I'll always say this, you know, I'm one guy who, I don't follow the traditional formula of working within the industry. So I can disappear for like a good 3 months, go and record an album and pop up back on some, now deal with me. I'm here.
Back. Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
But, in this incubator, there were 30 artists from different fields, different sort of styles of creation, different stages in their career. And it's always interesting for me to see, how people are developing and where they're going towards. And it's also a reality check, you know?
Yeah.
I always say, and it's a hard lesson, talent is like a small percentage of this, but the business of this business is always a little more. So it doesn't matter how talented you are.
Definitely.
But to be able to make it to that level where you're recognized for the work ethic and for the consistency, that's always, for me, you know, it's always humbling, because I think every time I sit down before I touch a note, I just want to make sure that somebody else feels what I feel. And to get to a point where, you know, to where I can do that at that level and see what others are doing, it's also, it's a learning experience for me, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Can you please tell us about like your experience? You seem like a very seasoned musician. And like, what are some of the things you learned from the Estimeral
Flow Lab?
Can you repeat that? I lost you for a second.
Sorry. I'm just asking, you're a very seasoned producer, musician. You're very like seasoned in this industry. And I just would like to know some of the things that you learned from the Estimeral Flow Lab.
All right. Everybody's journey is different and everybody's timing is their timing. You know, I just happened to be the one who was at a point where I was recognized or acknowledged for what I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 10,000 hours, the sitting and having agonizing days where sometimes you even feel like, why am I even doing this? I want to quit.
Sure. Mm.
You know, like it, you start really questioning what is important to you and why you are doing this.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, cause I think that's an important question. We live in an age where everybody wants to be a rapper or the next Kamumbela or the next Musakis or the next, you know, Major Steez. Everybody wants to be these guys, but the starting question is always, why do you want this? Because if you want it just for classic fame and if you want it for classic, I just want to be cool with my friends, then maybe it's not something that you should be doing because it'll kill you along the way because it's not an easy road, you know?
Definitely.
And for me, what it taught me is, you know, that as much as I've been doing this, there's always something new to learn. And also, it's nice to be... It's great to be in a space where you can learn from guys who are still coming up and who are at the same level and probably above you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Seeing how you can relate to them and how you can, what you can take from them and apply to your journey as well, you know, cause it's all about an individual journey.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Now, you know, you've come out of the Estimeral Flow Lab. You've produced quite a number of songs. When can we expect maybe an album or an EP from Mage C? When are you disappearing for another 3 months?
Nah, I've been on the talk. You see, I've been disappearing. I'm outside now.
Oh, okay. I'm outside. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I'm outside now. Mm. You know, very soon, real soon, we just in the process of, I'm actually waiting for a verse from a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Waiting for the vocals to come in. We're going straight to mastering. But before the end of the year, y'all definitely getting something from me. Might even be next month. Who knows?
Ah, that is lovely. Where can we find you on the socials and just keep up with the dates and everything?
You can follow me on Instagram at IamMageC. I'm the same on TikTok, but I'm still, you know, like, TikTok guys, man. Like, guys, how do you get like 100K followers?
Hey, Mati, the formula is consistency, so I don't know. Hey.
That's what they tell me, bro. But yeah, you could just search for at IamMageC across all platforms.
Man.
Facebook is still MageC.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Man, thank you.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.